you've been looking at endurance and following the Lord and the cost of following the Lord. And do you remember that young man who said, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go"? And Jesus turned to him and he said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Saying this, Jesus was indicating the cost of discipleship. You will have no fixed abode. You will own nothing. You will call nothing your own. Nothing will stick to your fingers. Nothing and no one. You will be a stranger and a pilgrim in the land. And the unspoken question is, do you still want to follow now that you know the terms? Three men who had already thought about the terms of following Jesus, even before the advent of the Messiah, were Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. Not their real names, their names had been changed. But these three guys had thought out their faith response before Nebuchadnezzar calls upon them to bow down. And there's no way that they are going to bow down to an idol. And they are heard to say, "Well, whether our God saves us or not, we're not bowing down to that." And so they're thrown into the burning fiery furnace, where there suddenly appear to be four people walking around. And Nebuchadnezzar, you will remember, says, "Come out." No surprise about four people walking around in a burning fiery furnace, but come out. Not the smell of smoke upon them. What I'm getting at here is that they had worked out their faith response. They had decided in advance what they were going to do when push came to shove. When the door burst open and the men with machine guns said, "If you're a Christian, put your hands up," and they would have got shot. They were just deciding where they were going to put their spear in the ground. And the same goes for us, you know. We've got to decide where we're going to stand. There is no disgrace, let me say, no shame in whatever you choose. There is none. God doesn't do shame or disgrace. What it really boils down to is how much of him do you want? 30, 60 or 100-fold? What sort of character do you want to go into eternity with? Because you recognise the character you go in with is the character you're lumbered with for eternity. So you just want to think about these things and measure it in the light of eternity. Is anything in this fading, failing, fast disappearing world worth clinging on to and measuring against eternity? When you start measuring everything against eternity, it's not difficult to let go of anything that sticks to your fingers here. So, like Jesus in the book of Revelation, I counsel you to buy an eye salve for your eyes, that you might see, that you might see the truth of the gospel, the greatness of the gospel, that you might walk in the things that he wants you to walk in and do greater works than these, because he's gone to the Father, and not settle for a mundane, ordinary life where nothing much changes and you certainly don't see the miraculous. What are you going to come down on the side of this day? Are you wanting to see the miraculous? Then you're going to have to step into something where you haven't got a clue what the decision you have made will take you. But I can tell you this, it will be exciting. It will not be mediocre. It will not be ordinary. You were not designed as a new creation in Christ to be ordinary, mundane or mediocre. But you get to choose. As Graham Cook would say, "Heck, go and have a cup of coffee or something." You don't have to do this. But if what I've spoken to you about is piquing your curiosity, is stirring something deeply within you that makes you think, I was made for something more than I'm getting at the moment, that makes you say, is that all there is to Christianity? Then maybe, just maybe, it's time you thought about stepping out of the boat, walking on water, making some faith choices, deciding to make your life count. Never mind what anybody else is doing. Just maybe. God bless you.